Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 66 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, and her life. And oh boy, now we're going to be talking about her vaginal prolapse. Yep, you heard me right. Before we do that, I want to make sure that you know that this episode of Her is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder, you want to run on over to iTunes after our episode and give us a rate and a review because guess what? I read these things. Love to hear feedback from you. I'm sincere about this, so please a rate and a review. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about Her.
Now, today we're going to be talking about how to deal with prolapse. What are we prolapsing? What are we dropping here? How about our vagina? Ow, I'm crossing my legs already. We're going to be talking to a wonderful expert, Dr. Keisha Gaither. She's a double board certified physician in OBGYN and maternal fetal medicine and holds a master's degree in public health. I do too. That was a really smart thing to do, by the way, Keisha. A perinatal consultant and women's health expert, Dr. Gaither's expertise is grounded in both research and her professional experience in caring for women with diabetes, HIV, and obesity in pregnancy. She's had over 20 years of professional experience, and she's got a mission to provide exemplary prenatal care to all women, regardless of circumstance. Dr. Gaither, welcome to the Her Podcast.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Peek. I appreciate it, and what a great introduction you gave. Can I take you around with me all the time?
Everyone asks that. Hell, I'd have no job if I did that. Wait a minute. I could be a professional introducer. What do you think? You think? You know, I could sort of bag the medicine and just go on the road. Hit it with you, Keisha. You know what I'm saying? So now I'm going to hop right into this really, really interesting article that popped out at me. It was actually posted on Fox News, and it talked about, can lifting weights with your vagina boost sexual health? What? So I immediately ran right into it. And there we are talking all about vaginal prolapse and what we can do about it. So as an expert, Dr. Gaither, what is vaginal prolapse?
Well, when I start talking about any subject, I like to get right to the basics of it. So there are certain organs that are in the woman's pelvis, and the pelvis is the area of the body between the hip bones. And these organs include the vagina, the cervix, your bladder, your uterus, your urethra, your intestines, and your rectum. And all of these organs are held in place by a group of muscles and tissue. And when this particular support system to hold these organs in place becomes stretched or torn, these pelvic organs will begin to slip out of their normal places and sag down, or, you know, in medical terms, they will prolapse. So there are different types of prolapse. There is uterine prolapse, when the uterus bulges or slips into the vagina. Sometimes it comes out of the vagina, just hanging out there. There's vaginal vault prolapse, when the top of the vagina, we in the medical arena call it the vaginal vault, when that drops down into the vaginal canal. And this typically occurs in women who have had their uterus removed. There is cystocele, when the bladder itself drops into the vagina. And then there is something called a rectocele, when the rectum drops down and bulges into or out of the vagina. So these are all things that we can definitely, as a gynecologist, see and treat. Now, I'm sure the next question is, what causes all of these lovely things?
Yeah, I know. I'm sitting here, and all the ladies out there in her podcast land are crossing their legs, too, going, oh, my God. Does this happen to 90-year-olds only? Is this something, you know, that happens after 25 pregnancy? I mean, you know, give us an example of, like, how this happens to someone.
Well, one of the primary ways in which its cause is via childbirth. If you have a history of delivering a lot of babies, particularly large babies, with all of that pushing and pushing and pushing, your muscles, you know, like anything else, become lax and they start to sag. So if you're delivering a large baby, like more than 10 pounds, 9, 10 pounders, this will certainly increase your risk of prolapse. If you've had surgery in the past, if you've had a hysterectomy or radiation treatment in your pelvic area, this, again, can cause certain structures to become that hold the uterus in place to become lax, and then the pelvic organs slip down. Menopause, when you are quote-unquote young, you have a lot of hormones, particularly estrogen, floating around, which helps to keep your pelvic muscles strong. Well, when menopause comes around, this hormone is not in such a great supply, and, you know, your muscles kind of begin to sag, and that just comes along with aging. If you are overweight, that can contribute to having prolapse. Any condition that puts pressure in the abdominal area, like constantly straining to have a bowel movement, or people who have pulmonary disease where they're constantly coughing and coughing, all of these things increase the pressure in the abdominal area and contributes to prolapse. If you are, you know, a fanatic about physical activity, lifting a lot of heavy weights and everything like that, that can contribute. And certainly genetic or hereditary factors. One person's pelvic support system might not be as strong as the others due to heredity. So all of these things, either separately or in conjunction with each other, can predispose you to have pelvic organ prolapse.
Ouch. And so, so is it fairly easily diagnosed?
Absolutely. Some of the symptoms that most of these ladies will have, problems inserting tampons, problems with having sex, it's painful or uncomfortable, difficulty having a bowel movement where you literally have to stick your finger in the vagina to push the rectus seal in such that you can have a normal bowel movement, constantly leaking urine, bulging noted in your vagina, a feeling of heaviness in the pelvic or back area, which seems to get worse if you're coughing or straining to go to the bathroom. And literally, you can have your uterus or your vagina just slip on out and just kind of hang there. And that's pretty obvious.
Okay, I got you. Okay, so, wow. What do you do about this? What are some modalities for treatment? And that goes for pregnant women as well as non-pregnant.
Exactly.
Let's start with the non-pregnant right off the bat.
Well, for pregnant women, and I've had quite a few women present with literally their uterus hanging out of their vagina. So things that obviously can happen with such a thing, you can have dryness and infections in the area. So what we typically do is gently place the uterus back up into the vagina and position it up in the pelvic cavity, and with the use of a device known as a pessary, we kind of hold it in place. Now, the pelvic organ prolapse in pregnancy will tend to happen within the early part of pregnancy. So the use of the pessary keeps that uterus in place until the first half of pregnancy progresses. And as the uterus grows, then with the help of the pessary in place, it will stay in place. You know, it won't prolapse after a certain gestational age. But certainly early on, I have had quite a few patients have, abject just uterine prolapse out of the vagina, necessitating reinsertment and pessary placement. So that's one way that pregnant women are treated when they have uterine prolapse. Now, if you have an older woman who's got multiple medical problems and is not in a condition to have surgical repair, a pessary, again, might be of benefit to provide support and help with
stabilization.
Stabilization. So those are the two cases in which pessaries are readily used. Now, if you have uterine prolapse that's severe and you're non-pregnant and you're in relatively good health outside of that medical condition, you can have a hysterectomy. And there are two types of hysterectomies that can be performed. You can have a vaginal hysterectomy, which if the uterus is already prolapsed into the vagina and it's hanging out, that's a relatively easy surgical procedure. Or you can have an abdominal hysterectomy. Again, it depends on what the clinical setting is. There are certain surgical procedures that can suspend tissues. There are uterine suspension surgeries, which can put the uterus back into position by using certain materials known as meshes to kind of lend support. If you have a rectocele, a urethrocele, or a cystocele, there are surgical procedures which, again, can lend support to pushing those organs back in place and by suturing certainly provide some degree of support. Let's do this. Okay.
All right. So, looking at all that in terms of surgical intervention, there's clearly, a lot of options here based upon what you, as an expert, say are assessing when the woman comes in. Talk to us now about Kegels, and then what this weightlifting with your vagina is all about. When do you really benefit from doing something like Kegel exercises, and what are they?
Okay. These exercises are used when the situation isn't as severe as when everything is literally hanging out there, so to speak. So these Kegel exercises are used to basically strengthen the muscles that support the pelvic organs. So how do you do it? Well, when we go to the bathroom and we're urinating, if there's something that causes you to stop midstream, those muscles that help you to stop urinating midstream are what are used to do Kegel exercises. So that tightening and relaxing, those particular muscles, you do that several times a day. Now, there are ways that Kegel exercises can be performed. You can do it just in and of itself, by yourself. You can place a device into the vagina such that you can really focus on those particular muscles to hold it in place. There's biofeedback techniques where, again, there's a little device placed into the vagina and it's connected to a machine. So you can really see that you're doing it correctly. And then there are other things that people have done in which the same exercises can be performed, except it's attached to a weight. So
how does that work? It's attached to a weight. Give us a visual on what that looks like.
Okay. You have a little egg-shaped device that has, say, a hole in the bottom of it. And it's in that little hole that you can add a weight. you can put this device into your vagina, and the little egg-shaped part of it stays in the vagina while the weight hangs down.
And by so gradually, that's the jade egg, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yep, the jade egg is a strengthening tool.
Right, and by increasing the weights, you can increase the strength and the tone of your vaginal muscles.
Wow. And this really works, though. I mean, mm-hmm. this you know, you as a practitioner out there, you've seen this work, or are
yes.
women kind of open to doing this?
I think that it's always a first line of options that are given to a woman, you know, obviously pending the degree of the weakening of the vaginal muscles, but that's generally the first line of therapy that's offered, doing Kegels. Now, depending on the degree to which a woman wishes to go in order to strengthen her musculature, that varies from person to person. But certainly doing Kegels of your own accord, or doing it with biofeedback, or doing it with the jade egg, that's going to be an individual's choice. But suffice it to say, it works.
Wow.
It works.
That's really quite fascinating. Mm-hmm. And this will work for both uterine issues as well as urinary issues, right?
Well, it will help
to... explain that.
It will help to strengthen the vaginal musculature. Now, again, if you already have a cystocele or a rectocele where your bladder and your rectum are bulging into the vagina, it's not going to help them because the damage has already been done. But if there is a decrease, say, in the vaginal tone from you having deliveries where you're having big babies, but it hasn't progressed to the point where you know things are actually literally and visually bulging, then Kegels can certainly help, and they can certainly
they can also help with urinary frequency. I mean, let's just say you don't have a prolapsed bladder, but you're having urinary frequency, so Kegels will work for that too, right?
Potentially it can. But again, it all depends on how far along you are in that prolapse process. And again, clinically, it will vary. It will vary. So before people start Kegeling out, it's best to have a visit with your doctor, let them take a look, see what's going on, and then individualize therapy depending on what the clinical situation is. But Kegeling can help with the support. It can help with potentially eliminating urinary frequency. It can help in the sexual arena for more intense orgasms. And not only are Kegels beneficial for women, they're also beneficial for men. Men can do Kegels, but I digress. We'll stay on the women.
Wait a minute. How in the heck does a man do a Kegel?
Same way we do it. So they stop their urine midstream, just like we can do it, and that's Kegels for them.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. I'd never really thought about guys and Kegels. You know, that didn't... It's sort of like guys and gals and guys and Kegels.
Definitely works.
Well, let me ask you another very interesting question that a patient once asked me, and that is, you know, the estrogen ring, right?
Right.
That a lot of women use, especially postmenopausally, to be able to maintain the integrity of the vaginal mucosa, because it gets rather dry, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And it affects lots of things from sexual function to actually the urinary frequency. Mm-hmm. And so would it also, you know, do you use the estrogen ring to be able to help augment all of this as well, as we're talking about Kegels?
Absolutely.
As we're talking, you do.
Taking the hormone.
And how does that work?
Prevent further weakening of the pelvic support muscles. When you start giving estrogen, it can do a lot of things. It thickens up the vaginal mucosa. It increases your lubrication capabilities. It also helps to strengthen the musculature. So all of these things you kind of lose as you age. So estrogen does have beneficial effects. Now, certainly before you start running out to get estrogen, you need to have a physician evaluate you to make sure that while you're taking estrogen, you're not putting yourself at risk for any other untoward, side effects.
Are women who are obese, because you, one of the specialties you have is you're looking at women from a variety of different backgrounds, from diabetes and obesity. Are women who are obese at higher risk for prolapse in general?
I'd say to a certain extent they are, because they are, there's a lot of intra-abdominal fat that kind of pushes on the pelvic organs. And then add that to if there are any other comorbid conditions that contribute to musculature laxity, like diabetes, or having a certain cancer where you've had to have radiation, you know, they do have an increased risk, I would say, yeah. And it's interesting that you say that. I never put two and two together, but the patients that I've had that were pregnant and had absolute uterine prolapse have all been heavy. Yeah.
Yep, yep. And don't they also tend to have heavier babies?
They do.
Okay,
and
so that's a double
risk
whammy.
Of having diabetes during their pregnancy. Yep.
Right, right, exactly. That's why one of my colleagues at, I think it was USC, coined the term diabesity.
Yeah.
Because they both tend to be so well connected.
Yeah. And that's like the new epidemic in my world anyway.
Yeah. I mean, this is a really tough one because you are an OBGYN and you're looking after the welfare of mom and baby, obviously. And do you find it to be a challenge to really talk to women about their weight as they're either A, considering becoming pregnant, or B, are in the early stages of pregnancy? How does that work in your practice?
Well, certainly heavier patients, when they first come to me, they can come to me in two ways. They can come to me in a preconceptual way prior to pregnancy. Hey, you know, doc, I want to get pregnant and I want to optimize, you know, my chances of getting pregnant. Well, heavier women do have an increased risk of having infertility. Excuse me. There are a lot of patients that have polycystic ovarian disease, which, you know, along with that comes the obesity and the diabetes, and this is even before they get pregnant. So a lot of my preconceptual counseling, I'll see patients who are like that. Now, once they become pregnant early on, what I usually like to do is talk to them about diet, talk to them about exercise, and certainly screen them for diabetes, because I know, you know, they are at an increased risk of either being diabetic before they even get pregnant or becoming diabetic early on during the course of their pregnancy. So they always get screened very early.
Mm-hmm. I just, you know, working within the field of, you know, obesity and nutrition, yeah, clearly you and I both know how challenging all of this is.
Yeah, and diabetic women also have an increased risk of having congenital babies that have congenital anomalies. So,
absolutely.
You know, it's kind of imperative. It would behoove a lady, if she were heavier, to kind of have some preconceptual counseling prior to initiating conception.
Yeah, well, you know, I think, again, we have to address the fact that we live in an obesogenic environment out there.
Absolutely. Everything has sugar in it.
It's so hard. I mean, you know, it's just really, really difficult to to work against this, but, you know, I think when people like you and me and other practitioners are pretty consistent in our messaging, mm-hmm. that we really want people to have optimal health, you know, don't obsess so much about the scale per se, but can you optimize your healthy living habits, because exactly. everything else will iron out when you do that, kind of exactly. concentrate more on health. And in your case, you're talking about two lives, mm-hmm. you know, or sometimes more, and that is mom and babe. And for crying out loud, this is something that oftentimes is an eye-opener for a woman as she sits back and says, it's no longer just about me. I've seen a lot of women give up smoking and right. start eating better, mm-hmm. being more physically active, because suddenly they realize, oh my God, I've got a helpless human being who's going to be depending upon
exactly.
me, both in utero and otherwise. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I was going to add the best time to get to a woman to talk to her about changing lifestyle and eating habits is when she's pregnant, because those are the thoughts that are floating around. You know, it's me having to do what I need to do to make sure my little one gets here safely. It's all on me.
I love it. You know, your points are extremely well taken. This has really been a fascinating podcast, because you know, it's just been so chock full of facts and tips and tools and techniques, you know, revolving around something that can be a really huge problem with women, and that's starting with prolapse, mm-hmm. and then, you know, stepping back and looking at all the things we can do to help prevent this happening in
Absolutely.
The first place, if it's humanly possible to prevent. And one of the most obvious is our lifestyle and how, you know, we're living it, and our mm-hmm. own choices, both in terms of nutrition, physical fitness, our body composition, etc. And that huge wake-up call that you've got a little kid, you know, or two or three sometimes, mm-hmm. who are depending upon you. And that can be a really sobering moment. So, Dr. Gaither, I can't begin to thank you enough for imparting such wonderful wisdom to all of our listeners with the HER podcast. Everyone, we've been listening to Dr. Keisha Gaither. Her website is keishagaither.com. I'm going to spell that K-E-C-I-A Gaither, G-A-I-T-H-E-R.com, keishagaither.com. She is a marvelously talented physician, double board certified in OBGYN and maternal fetal medicine, with a master's degree in public health, and who's been just wonderful about helping guide us through some really tough challenges that we as women will face in our lifetime. So, Dr. Gaither, thank you for being on the HER podcast.
And thank you so much for having me. It was indeed fun.
Awesome. And guess what? You were so good. We're going to tap you again and again. So get used to it, Dr. Gaither. It's all good. Oh boy, what a great podcast episode. Now, remember to catch all of our episodes. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at radiomd.com. And then take a moment over at iTunes and give us a rate and a review, because we love to see them, read them, and get your feedback, because it means that much to us. And I'll read them all. I'm Dr. Pam Peake. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeakeMD, and you can also check out our HER Show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.